Cheap Lodgings by J.E. Mallock. It was morning. All night the trains had rushed groaning past the rows of stifled houses. Closed windows and drawn dirty blinds strove vainly to shut out soot or noise. And now the trains rushed still faster and more often, soiling the daybreak and silencing the dawn. Lillian tossed uneasily on her bed. Her weariness was unashamed. In sleep, she had not to smile and act and talk. Her thin cheeks were pale, and her thin fair hair scarcely shaded the pillow. Round her eyelids the lines were unnaturally deep, for the paint had not been taken off with care in the badly lit dressing room, and companion lines ran as deeply from her nostrils to the corners of her hard, pretty mouth. Indeed, she wanted more sleep. Her part the night before had been long and wasteful, leaving her too weary even to wash her hands, which now lay limply, cigarette-stained, on the rough sheets. She had turned with her face windowwards. Daylight, stealing in, showed the table strewn with the relics of a dingy supper. The shell of a crab, some cheese, three black bottles were mixed up with gloves, hairpins, and a dog's collar, and the whole was bound together with tobacco ash. Noises outside began to increase, piling themselves up with stealthy additions from afar into the one great roar of London. Lillian stirred with physical irritation and kicked the fox terrier who lay at her feet. He growled and sat up and wondered if he might go and lick her face. Then he looked dubiously at the other occupant of the bed, yawned and curled up again to sleep. A good deal more than half of the bed was filled by a large, heavy woman whose auburn hair was brown at the roots. She sprawled on the pillow and slept with her mouth open, snoring evenly. A shriek from an engine awakened them both.
"Darling child," said the elder woman, yawning, "I do believe it's late. Just put out your hand and pull the bell."
"No, damn, let me sleep," muttered Lillian.
"What a lazy child it is," said the other good-naturedly, and there was silence again.
The dog, tired of sleep, began to crawl up the bed, uncertain of his reception.
"What the devil's the matter with you, Spot?" said Lillian,
and the other, sitting up, began to talk.
"There, there, what a pretty pet. Did he have a lazy mistress? Did he not like the dirty room, eh? Never mind. His Aunt Marianne will give him his breakfast. She doesn't like the room either. My dear child, you can't imagine what this room means to me after 8 servants and such a flat. The hall paper cost 16 shillings a yard, and Bertram adored me both before our marriage and after. He really did."
"Funny thing that he couldn't stay at home," murmured Lillian sleepily.
"Ah, my dear, he changed sadly. Little woman, he used to say, there may be others more beautiful than you, but there are none like you. And he meant it. I know he did."
"But he was a bit of a brute, wasn't he?"
"He was sometimes brutal, my dear, but never a brute. No, I never forgot that he was a gentleman."
"It seems he did, though."
"Ah, you must make allowance, my dear, for such a man. Wine and women, vine, vibe and song, as my dear father used to say, sitting in his library, surrounded by foreign books, both dead and living. Yes, I think, excepting the one occasion when Bertram kicked me, and it was an awful kick, you remember, child, I was lying on the hearth rug, excepting that